Manuscript Releases, Volume 4, Mr. Number 221. Materials on the work in the inner city. In your letter of April 18th, you speak of the work that is being done in Chicago. I am in full sympathy with the work that is being done there. I believe in helping along every line in which it is possible to help, following the steps of Christ. Those who take hold of this Christian help work, who will consecrate themselves to God, will find that He will be a present help to them in every hour of need. I know that the Lord will use those who will submit themselves to Him, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be enabled to do the work that needs to be done. I have been more grieved than I can express at the word that has come to me from you regarding the matters about which I have recently written to you. I have recently found a manuscript which I wrote to you while in Wellington, New Zealand, about 5 years ago, a copy of which was sent to you at that time. I have sent to you the original letter, just as I wrote it, so that you may see that the light has been coming to you for several years upon the same points about which I have written you several times recently. Your speaking of the ministers before your classes, and exalting the medical missionary work above the work of the ministry, is bringing in a state of things that is not in harmony with the third angel's message. I was shown that angels veiled their faces when they heard your words in regard to God's servants. These men have been given a work to do for God, and many of them are doing this work just as faithfully as you are doing your work. Some are laboring under more discouraging circumstances, because they have not the advantages and facilities which you possess for the prosecution of their work. The swaying of things so heavily in one line is not after the Lord's plan. The wisest use is not being made of means. The thousands of dollars that were invested in the Boulder Sanitarium would have accomplished very much more good in the saving of souls and bodies of men, if it had been sent to some other country, where there is a dearth of facilities for the prosecution of the work. Strongholds, cities of refuge, must be built up in many lands, that the truth may go forth in connection with the medical missionary work to all parts of the Lord's vineyard. Brother Kellogg, the Lord calls for a halt, while you sit down and count the cost, to see whether you will be able to finish the building which you have begun. My brother, you are in danger. You are making many plans that you can never carry through. In your effort to embrace so much in the rescue work, you are in danger of divorcing yourself from the leading and most urgent features of the last gospel message. There must be camp meetings held to reach all classes, and at every place where these camp meetings are held, a home should be established where educated workers can teach all classes of learners how to work in medical missionary lines in connection with the Bible workers. All are to be taught how to carry the work to towns and cities that have not yet heard the message. Thus the light of truth will shine forth in many places. Meeting houses must be built, and humble buildings hired or erected where treatment can be given to the sick. By this means the work of the gospel and the medical missionary work will be bound together. I see that your difficulties are becoming more settled and pronounced because Dr. Kellogg refuses counsel and chooses to do the very things that God has told him not to do. But the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. If Dr. Kellogg refuses to change his methods of labor, then the sure result will come. The Lord has signified that the missionary, health restorative gospel shall never be separated from the ministry of the word. The Lord Jesus has in His own example shown us the way in which His work is to be done in the restoration of suffering humanity. It is the Lord's purpose that in every part of our world health institutions shall be established as a part of the gospel work. If men feel that God has called them to devote all their missionary efforts to the worst part of the cities, no one should forbid them to work. But the Lord has in His own wisdom established sanitariums as a special illustration of the gospel work to be done in magnifying the truth. But medical missionary work is not to be made a separate work, under a separate organization from the gospel ministry, after one man's mind and one man's judgment. The work in all its branches is to be one. The true medical missionary work is expressed in tender compassion to the Lord's poor, and in doing good to all the needy and suffering of the household of faith whose necessities in the providence of God come to our knowledge and require our notice. Every soul is under special tribute to God to notice with particular compassion God's worthy poor. Under no consideration are these to be passed by under the false pretense that charity makes provisions to reward the doers of evil who have ruined themselves through sinful indulgence, those who are not the friends of God. There are two classes of poor whom we have always within our borders: those who ruin themselves by their own independent course of action and continue in their transgression, and those who for the truth's sake have been brought into straitened circumstances. Many of the Lord's poor are daily in suffering need, and in some cases their families may have to be provided for. There are many others who, when helped, will continue to make themselves special subjects of necessity. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves, and then toward all these classes we shall do the right thing under the guidance and counsel of sound wisdom. The Lord's poor subjects are to be helped in every case where it will be for their benefit. They are to be placed where they can help themselves. We have no question in regard to the cases of this class of poor. The best methods of helping them are to be carefully and prayerfully considered. The Lord lays this responsibility upon every church. That love, sympathy, and compassion is to be exercised toward them that Christ would exercise were he here in our places. We are to be disciplined in this way, that we may be prepared to work in Christ's lines. God suffers his poor to be in the borders of every church. They are always to be among us. The orphans, the poor, the aged children of God are not to be removed away and placed in large numbers by themselves, but the church members are to exercise their God-given tact and ingenuity to bear the responsibilities of caring for these, the Lord's people. In doing this, they practice the truths of the 58th chapter of Isaiah. They are not to pass by the Lord's poor, but they are to deny themselves of luxuries, of bows and ribbons, and the wearing of gold as an ornament, that they may make the suffering, needy ones comfortable. After this they may reach still farther to help those who are not of the household of faith, if they are the proper subjects to be helped. But God does not expect those to whom he has given a special work to take on the depraved, the lowest specimens of humanity, using up the treasury money in this work and teach them only a few jots and tittles in spiritual lines. Let the light of the truth of God flash into the mind. While you can show that you are willing and grateful to receive any ideas in regard to the methods and plans of this work, which will be a help and a blessing to our own people, your influence should be exerted in every way possible to let the light of truth shine into their minds. The light which I have to give to our people is, let no condemnatory speeches be printed in our papers. A large number of precious souls are groping in darkness, yet longing and weeping and praying for light. Thus it is in churches everywhere. If the efforts, the talent, the labor, the money, which have been thrown into Chicago for the last several years had been appropriated toward acquainting with the truth of God for these last days, a class of people who could have been reached with wise, well-directed efforts, many would have received the truth who would now be working to give it to others of their own class. When our people become acquainted with this higher class of people, they will have an opportunity to disabuse the minds of very many of them of prejudice and opposition to things which they suppose our people believe, but which they do not entertain at all. I feel to the depths of my soul that as a people we must not move in wrong lines in this matter, calling it medical missionary work. But we should go to work for a class of people with whom we can unite on the subject of temperance. Then, by their own request, we can lead them to the Bible and give them the light on the Sabbath question. From this, the experience of Philip and the eunuch, God would teach his workers to be on watch and be ready to help every case that shall come to their notice. This man was converted through Philip's preaching the gospel of the word to him. Through him the light of truth was shining to the higher classes. It is the plan and constant effort of Satan to entangle the work of God in a supposed beneficent and excellent work, so that doors cannot be opened to enter new fields and work with people who have an advanced acquaintance with temperance principles. To unite with them in their work would be to do a special work for this time, without taking on the responsibilities of a work which will enforce an expenditure of means that will embarrass the conferences, a work which will absorb and consume but not produce. I know that God would not have his money absorbed in Chicago as it now is. The money invested in this way consumes much time and labor. This is pleasing to Satan, for he knows that it will close the door against the support of missionaries in their work, and then the work of the gospel ministry will be held up to ridicule in comparison with the large work done in medical missionary lines. A large amount of money has been used in a way which has accomplished very little. Much has been spent on a class of people who will never be fitted to receive and impart, unless the Holy Spirit shall make them entirely new, heart, mind, and body. The work done for this class has been disproportionately large in comparison with the work that has been done in fields that are waiting and longing for the truth. How many more years will the ways of man count to work that which God would have done? The messages are not to be sunk out of sight, and the means in the treasury exhausted by a work for the most abandoned classes. These are not to be repulsed. They are to be encouraged to reform and be converted. But all the time and talent and means are not to be devoted to work such as that which has been started in Chicago, which has absorbed so much of the Lord's money. God has said that churches are to be established all over the world. Every effort is to be made to turn souls from error to truth, but work for the destitute is not to be taken up and managed as it has been in Chicago. The same time and means used otherwise would have done much to proclaim the truth which must be given to our world. Men and women would have been called out from the world to witness to Christ's words, "Ye are the light of the world." Too much commercial work has been mingled with the medical missionary work. The capabilities that should have been developed under God in caring for the sick and doing the work of a physician of the soul, as well as of the body, have, in recent years, been used largely in launching out in various enterprises. These enterprises necessitated the carrying of many responsibilities that the Lord never intended that Dr. Kellogg should bear. The Chicago work was not in all respects carried on in the right way. Too great an effort was made to feed a large class. Too much money was used in doing slum work. God did not lay upon Dr. Kellogg the responsibility of doing so much of this kind of work. The Lord declared, "He is my physician." More recently, I have written of figures that have been presented before me in regard to the gospel wagon. Then I had a view of the work which you have been doing for several years. I was lost to everything around me. I saw the large work established by you in Chicago, and the money that was invested. There was presented before me a long roll of paper, having upon it figures of a startling character, while in large letters was inscribed, "Consumers, but not producers." The figures showed the amount of God's money that had been invested in that enterprise in Chicago, and the results to the work all over the world. The representation was most disheartening. The whole vineyard of the Lord has been robbed to carry on a work that is never ending. It has consumed means that should have supplied the necessities of foreign fields. The means spent in Chicago would have given to new fields advantages for doing the very work that God has designed should be done. Look at the destitution that exists in portions of the field in foreign countries, and in contrast see the investment made in one great city. It shows that there has been a misappropriation of means which is not yours to do with as you please. I have no hesitancy in saying that God did not set you at that work in Chicago. 3 mornings ago I laid my hand upon several papers, exchanges from America, sent me about 2 years since. In the New York Observer of August 6, 1896, I saw your name, and the heading, "Dr. Kellogg's Work, The Working Man's Home, and Medical Missionary Work in Chicago." There followed an account of the work then going forward, and the large amount of means required to sustain it. Since that time the work has greatly extended, and of course a much larger amount is required for its support. As I read the article, and thought of these things, I could understand the light given me by the Lord as to what the principles of truth and righteousness would lead the sanitarium supporters and workers to do, that they should make it their first business to aid the work in this country, where the Lord has sent experienced workers fitted to carry forward His work. In the sanitarium at Battle Creek as a center, the Lord gave you your work, all that you could carry successfully. The medical missionary work was ever to be as the arm to the great work that was to prepare a people to stand in the day of God so soon to be realized. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The gospel ministry of truth for these last days, in its sacred dignity, is to stand as the body. Christ Himself is the head, and the medical missionary work is to be the arm and hand. Only a thorough instruction in God's word will suffice for the saving of souls that are ready to perish. Our work in camp meetings brings us in touch with all nationalities and all classes, rich and poor, high and low, and it brings us in connection with the sick and suffering. These camp meetings should be regarded as verily God's instrumentalities, as are the sanitariums. Their work is essential. The work of our schools also is essential. God has a church, and education in schools is not on a solid basis unless it is carried on in connection with the church and is founded on the principles of God's word. Thorough instruction in the Word of God imparts an education that will be as lasting as eternity. All these lines of work require money. God does not now lay upon His people the same work which was laid upon Muller. Muller did a noble work. But God has given His people a work to do after a different plan. To them He has given a message for the whole world. They are to enter territory after territory and make aggressive warfare against soul-destroying sins. God bids them, "Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." They are to engage in house-to-house labor, opening the scriptures to those who are in darkness. Rich and poor alike are to be instructed. The youth must be labored for with persevering zeal to win them to the truth, that they also may become laborers together with God. All this the work in Chicago was presented in a vision given to me at midday. It laid upon me a burden which none could understand. I could not understand it. I was overwhelmed with the things presented. When I came to myself, I was like one stunned. Night after night the picture was before me. I saw the investments you were making, the money you were consuming, and what would the end be? I will not say. Who has required this at your hands? Was the question asked? Sister White, you bemoan. Somebody has set things before you in a wrong light. No, no, things that no one knows have been presented to me. I have been made to understand the ambitious projects that have bound up in one wicked city means which should have helped the work in this new world and put us on standing ground. But all the necessities of this field, which were kept before you, seem to you of less importance than the great things you were creating. All our entreaties, all our poverty, which you knew, all our inability, which was indeed impossibility, was before you, but the things of your own creation closed your senses to our great need. The Lord signified that we should make a center here, that in this country should be established the very same work that we had started in America by the greatest self-denial and self-sacrifice at every step. As I write, my soul burns within me to see how the money has been used to consume, but not to produce. We should have had at this date a large, well-built edifice with surrounding grounds in a beautiful location, where we could cooperate with God in caring for sick and suffering humanity. Through this work in connection with the gospel ministry, the light of truth would shine forth. The people who are in ignorance would have an opportunity to become acquainted with health principles, and many would be led to practice the self-denial essential for health of body and clearness of mind, and they would be brought to comprehend what is truth for these last days. This is the work to be done. Our school in Australia has been established and carried on at a heavy financial sacrifice. If some of the means absorbed in the Chicago mission and similar enterprises had been appropriated to the necessities of institutions of God's own appointment in this new field, the Lord would have been much better glorified, for then we could have received to impart to others. Through the work of schools and sanitariums, the light of the gospel, in clear, steady rays, would have penetrated far and near. The truth of God would have been as a city set upon a hill. If the ensign of truth can be lifted in educational institutions and in sanitariums for the sick, in the islands of the sea and in many countries, more would be accomplished in bringing souls into the truth than can be accomplished by all other methods that can be devised. There are many communities where all are in humble circumstances, where many of the refinements, comforts, and some even of the seeming necessities of life are lacking. But when the truth is received by these people, what a change is wrought! Tobacco is seen to be a needless expense, as well as an injury to the health. It is discarded, and the means thus saved is used in paying teachers to instruct the children, that they may be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Many who know not the truth are coming to understand that their home training and Sunday school teaching will not accomplish the work that is essential for this time. The present truth must come to the people. They need Bible truth, the special truth for this time. Our churches must be a living temple for God. Every stone composing the temple must be a living stone, emitting light. Often the greatest amount of good will be accomplished by camp meetings. In most cases, these should hold 2 or 3 weeks. These meetings should be so conducted as to make them object lessons of neatness, order, and good taste, and at the same time there should be a careful regard to economy. At these meetings the truth is brought before people who would never enter a church, and many are convicted and converted. In every place where believers are raised up, humble churches should be built. All that is involved in camp meeting effort can never be fully traced out. God is calling upon souls, and we should stand ready to gather in the harvest as soon as the work of ministry begins. The warning is to be given by every converted soul. This is the missionary work to be done. Money is to be invested, not in expensive buildings, but in the best methods of reaching and saving the largest number of souls unto Jesus Christ. The ministry is not to be belittled or criticized. The men appointed to the ministry are not to be censured because they do not give soul and body to that which is termed medical missionary work. God has given to every man his work. It is not the duty of the ministers to do as you have done. If they did, they would rob the destitute, suffering fields that have just as good a claim to help as have the people in the wicked city of Chicago. It is your duty, Brother John, to respect the ministry just as fully as you think your work should be respected. Should you carry out your own way, means would be drawn from the treasury to support the enterprises of your creation, until the missions to which God has appointed a special work would be destitute of every facility for carrying on that work.